A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever.
The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia.
sheep of my flock, says the Lord. Hearing my voice, they will listen. They will follow me, for I know them. They are mine. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man, who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Before making the offering you the main event, I feel impelled to make a correction, or at least an addition, a clarification about one of the announcements that was made, that today being Good Shepherd Sunday, the second collection is taken for the retirement priest. Some people are under the conception that if you give more, the priest you don't like will be retired sooner. I want to assure you that's not the case. And already I see people in the back putting their money back in their pockets. Sorry, maybe next year it'll change. Nonetheless, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and what I'd like to ask you to do, along with me, I'd like to flip the script a bit and shift the focus. In other words, what I would like to do is to de-clericalize it, decentralize it, and democratize it. And what I mean by that is, I would like to shift the focus totally and completely from pulpit and altar to pew and home, pew and school, pew and neighborhood, pew and place of work. And I don't think that that is very radical or very upsetting. I think it's very much true to the spirit of the Second Vatican Council, that when you read the documents of the Second Vatican Council in toto, and not do this selective cafeteria pick and choose, there was a significant shift in the thinking and theology and ecclesiology, understanding of the church, that took place at the Second Vatican Council, in which it brought forth again into the spotlight the primacy of baptism, that through baptism there are no later and more convenient hour or excuses, that everyone who is baptized in the death and resurrection of Christ is an active participant in the ongoing life of the church. And part of that life is shepherding. It's not simply for those up here, ordained and anointed and all of those things, It's also for those who are baptized. It is all of us together in the mystical body of Christ. We're all called in our everyday lives to shepherd and to make present the good news of the gospel. And in looking at our reading this morning, you may ask, well, that's very wonderful and terrific. We've heard all of that, da-da-da-da-da. Been there, done that. But have we really? And if you notice in our reading this morning, not long, it's a short reading, there are three dimensions of being a good shepherd. And each and every one of them affects each and every one of you, of which there is no kind of absent without leave. There is no get away from it. Number one, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. To be a good shepherd, to be baptized into Christ, is to sacrifice, is to sacrifice. And every parent knows the importance of sacrifice, especially when a marriage becomes a family and children enter the picture. There's a daily dying and rising in which parents make tremendous sacrifices for their children on a daily basis. Unseen often, unheralded, uncelebrated, of which also, we might add, there are parents, grandparents, and the extended family that are part of that. There are no excused absences. But we're, all of you who are parents, you are called in some way or another to shepherd those entrusted to you, spouses to each other, parents to children, young people who are called to live in a world that is tremendously challenging today, much more so than in my generation, many of your generations. People say today, oh, I can't get over how bad young people are, how they don't care, this and that. I'm amazed that young people are so good, given the complexity of the world today, the obstacles that they face in a techno-scientific bombarding world, to try to keep some kind of balance and some kind of vision. Whereas the most important thing for my generation and some of yours, and even a generation before mine that you may be in, it was Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver, and the biggest thing was whether Beaver was going to shoot a spitball at the teacher when her back was turned. And that was looked upon as juvenile delinquency. Today, the complexity of what young people face, and for young people to stand for something so they don't fall for everything, is a tremendous shepherding. It's a tremendous witness and sign to others who may be looking for someone to show that kind of example, that sign of courage. For those of you who sacrifice to make a house a home, get up every morning and go to work to take care of your family and responsibilities, and in the workplace face many opportunities and challenges to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are witnesses, shepherds, signs, and it costs a sacrifice. You may not be invited to the big office party. You may not be with the in crowd or the clique at the water cooler, because you don't go along in order to get along, because your gospel values do not keep step with those of the secular culture or the culture of the office or the business. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. Those of you who may be physically impaired, those who may watch this on a computer or whatever it is, and so on, you may be housebound. You are also involved in shepherding, the shepherding of prayer. Yes, it's a sacrifice. But my God, how we need prayer for those who have no one to pray with them or for them today, for those who are outside the walls of this church, who are in need of what Pope Francis calls a field hospital, those who extend outside of here and yet don't know quite how to get here, spiritually and otherwise. Do we pray for them every day? It takes a sacrifice. It takes a sacrifice. And there are countless sacrifices that are done in our everyday lives that often go past us, or we don't see it in others, we don't recognize it. It is our call to be shepherd. Lay down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me. This knowledge is not a knowledge in your head. That's the second one. To really know someone is always intimate and personal and particular. I know my children, but do you know the individual child? And I don't mean know in terms of all of the externals. Did they win the game? Did they bring home the scholarship? Did they get into the college and all that sort of thing? That's all exterior, external stuff. But do we really know the other? Do spouses fall out of knowing each other? It takes a sacrifice. Again, the loving's easy, the living's hard. In the everyday grind of life, do we grow anonymous to one another? The spark is out of the wedding, out of the marriage. It requires work. It requires sacrifice to make a house a home, to make an aggregate of people a family, for spouses to love one another, because it begins in the home. The home, the Second Vatican Council called the home the little church. The great statesman of Britain back in the 18th century, Edmund Burke, talked about the little platoons of virtue, the family, the school, the neighborhood, the association. That's where the virtues, that's where we learn those strengths of character and spirit. If we don't learn it there, where might we learn it? In the larger world, on television, the peer group? Hardly. We have to know. But no takes a sacrifice, because it takes an investment of time in which we do not simply hear one another, we listen to one another. And there is such a qualitative difference between hearing and listening. Listening is an investment of self. And one of the major complaints or hurts of young people today, they have no one to listen to them. Oh, they have people that hear them. But do we have a home of listening? A home of accompanying, where we walk together with one another? That's a shepherding. That's what it means to be a good shepherd. And thirdly, I have other sheep that do not belong. I must lead them. Shepherding is not simply a closed activity. One of the most significant things that we learn through life, and we're never too young to learn it, is the importance of the only authentic gift that we have. As Emerson said, the only authentic gift is the gift of yourself. And it's not in the Neiman Marcus catalog on the shopping channel or any of those things. The most precious thing that you can give is the gift of yourself to another. in a disinterested love. Not because I'm going to get something from it, not because you've achieved something, not because you're praised and given glory and all of that kind of stuff, but because of the kind of person you are. And there are so many people who have all kind of stuff, but inside they're anemic and malnourished because they don't have listening, recognition, and that love that reaches out for them as a person. Children need that. Every human being needs that. And that shepherding. And sadly, it's often those who are nearest and dearest who are the ones whom we most often neglect. We're great on the outside. But how are we in those intimate little platoons of virtue, those little seedbeds and nurseries where life is held together, where life is held together and lived? Where? In our own homes, in the places that we traverse every day. You are to be shepherds. It's not simply up here. It's down there, and when you leave, most importantly, and you go out into that vast pasture called everyday life, every day you're called to be a shepherd. And so, this morning, as we talk about Good Shepherd Sunday, let us place ourselves in that role, in that vocation, and in that call. Let us once again walk wet in our baptismal waters that we may have received long and decades ago. Let it not grow arid and dry and lifeless. Well, as St. Paul says to the Romans, we are more than conquerors in He who loved us. Let us be shepherd to one another. Let us bring what the world most needs, good news, the best news, the eternal news, that God in Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, loves each of us particularly, uniquely. God listens always to us, and God calls us to be His people, to shepherd one another in imitation of the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us please stand.